Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hourglass of Isabella. It's kind of a monumentous day today. I'm here with Michael.
Yeah.
And as many of you know who are listening, we are kind of in a strange position where essentially we are on the verge of potentially World War III.
That is correct.
And that's not an understatement. That's not a salacious title to draw you in to listen to the podcast. It's a very real threat that, at least for right now, Ukraine is facing. You know, Russia has made the decision, which we knew about a bit before, that they were set to potentially invade the Ukraine. They had put troops all around strategically and said it was for training.
No, they're just doing training.
They're just training. Like a, don't worry about it.
It's like a big Boy Scout jamboree.
Don't worry
they were,
about it.
They had, you know.
Don't worry about this, guys. We're not going to invade. And of course, lo and behold, Putin went ahead and invaded. Which and why this is monumental. And you might be asking, why does this affect me? Like, if I'm living in England, or if I'm living in France or America, why does this affect me? Well, the answer is, it will affect you a great deal. You know, we have not seen the likes of this in over 80 years in terms of war. And it's important, and while there's certainly comparisons that we can and will draw out through this podcast, you know, to the Cold War, you know, and to Afghanistan and Vietnam and everything else, like, there are key differences which will ultimately, and hopefully not, but could affect your life. And so the start is, you know, as we know right now, you know, they have made that decision to go in. And I thought there was one key phrase which was really interesting that Putin had stated. He said, if anyone interferes, you will face consequences greater than any you have faced in history. That was a threat to the West, specifically. And I think we all know what he's leaning at and making the posturing of is nuclear weapons. That, I guarantee, is what he's trying to put the fear of God into people about. And, Michael, you were doing a lot of research earlier on nuclear weapons history. And but just so you know, so you don't freak out when listening, it's still highly unlikely because the results are so devastating. But I don't think, just because we lived through the Cold War, or our parents did before us, that we should ignore the possibility
that. It's definitely a possibility. I think you pointed out that they backed the nuclear clock, or the atomic clock.
The atomic clock.
Back to...
The doomsday clock.
It's different. The atomic clock is the one that's always right.
The doomsday clock. They set it to 100 seconds to midnight, which they have not done in a while.
So that
was like warning sign number one.
And if you're not familiar with the doomsday clock, that is basically an abstract or a theoretical abstract.
By the atomic board, they set it.
Think tank, they determine the likelihood that there is going to be some sort of
catastrophic
nuclear
world-ending effect, right?
Kind of like DEFCON 1, 2, 3, 4.
Have you ever heard that Albert Einstein quote? He said, I know not what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Indicating that whatever happens, it ain't going to be good. And we were looking like the consequences of, you know, nuclear winter and all this stuff. And again, I just want to point out the current plan, I believe, though we don't know for a fact if we've got troops directly. We don't currently, but we don't know if there will be troops directly sent from America into the Ukraine. We know we've sent troops over to Germany and Poland currently. And the main thing that Biden is stating right now is that the plan is to make sanctions via NATO, you know, and NATO is comprised of basically like these allied forces. You know, you've got England and Germany, the United States,
and
even in this allied situation, we have Japan on our side, you know, and a lot of people who really do care about the Ukraine. And we know there's a clear definition of this, of who's the baddie. You know, it's very clear that Putin has gone in and started a war with very innocent people involved. When they had their vote, they actually had a very democratic kind of, they wanted to live a very much more Western style life. It was actually a 76% vote that they got in, which was more leaning towards Western ideals. And yet, despite that, you know, Russia is still making this decision to go in and try to, you know, set up political puppets and change the system and really create a lot of chaos. And where does the chaos go to you? The ultimate answer is we're going to create sanctions, try to sort of strangle Russia financially, cut off their ability to do trading and marketing with other countries, you know, decimate the economic industry, which has worked. In fact, today, I believe, was it this, the lowest it's been in terms of stock trading history?
Oh, the ruble is
the ruble
lower.
Is the lowest it's ever been today. Wasn't that what they said? I thought that was really interesting.
That
so
is.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah, the stock market has
crashed
down
there.
A lot. The
you know, but as Biden stated, that's like a long-term game plan. And of course, there are consequences for us. The things you're going to see in your day-to-day life here is gas prices are going to rise. And why is it gas? If you're in the UK, petrol prices. So the gas for your car, that is going to rise. You know, economic things will be, they will be influenced there. You know, we talk about the brass tax and everything else. We are going to see changes occurring within that. And then, of course, the bigger fear now is, and I think it really is important to point this out, is not just Russia. It's the chain effect of, say, China, who has wanted actually to go to war with Taiwan for some time. And likewise, just like Russia has positioned troops all the way around. Guess what? For training today,
right.
You know what they did today? You know what China did today?
Yeah, they flew some fighter jets across the
into
border.
The air zone of Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And that is so terrifying because I think what happens is we have this whole concept of big powers and that America is this big protective power and we set precedents for other countries. And Putin is challenging that because we've had so much political turmoil within our system, unfortunately. And I think we can all agree listening to this, we have been so hyper-focused on political differences with our friendship groups, you know, petty things on social media, worrying about things that in the grand scheme of things should not, you know, but like I'm talking about we should be at the point of wanting to help Ukraine and free them from this terrible situation. We've been focused on things in the grand scheme of things do not matter actually as much as we might think. In a time we've become divided when in reality we should all be brought together. And Putin knows this, which is why he has chosen this key time to actively take steps and do this. And I fear, my big fear is that China will follow suit and actually do this to Taiwan because they see we as a big power cannot take actions.
Well, yeah,
it's all about
posturing. There's probably enough to cover like 5 or 10 podcasts.
Oh, yeah, I've gone on. Now, let you talk because I've gone on and on about that.
Okay,
I could go on all night.
Oh, I know. So a couple things. First, I said Australia. I was transposing NATO with the UN. Obviously, Australia is not part of NATO.
But Australia is where you want to go. There's a nuclear winter.
That's top of mind.
Did you know that? It's because of where it's located on the planet. Let's say we had a nuclear winter. One of the safer, it would still be massively affected, one of the safer places to be would actually be Australia.
Well, so speaking of nuclear winter, and I think one of the topics we broached there a few minutes ago was the likelihood
one of the 10.
The likelihood of nuclear weapons being used. So,
which is still low.
Right, yeah, it's a convention, well...
But shouldn't be deemed impossible.
It shouldn't be deemed impossible. So as nuclear proliferation has increased over the years, and the power of nuclear weapons has increased. I'm not sure if it was John von Neumann or who said this, but there is a corollary between the strength, the amount of damage a nuclear weapon could cause versus the likelihood of it ever being used. Right. So if you have a nuclear weapon that can destroy a small city, it's fairly likely in the course of battle you would probably use that, but if every time you use a weapon, just the sheer strength of the weapon plus the response from the other side is going to equal a global war and
yes.
annihilation. We destroy everything.
Nobody
right?
wins.
Yeah, nobody wins. So the likelihood of you using that goes down and down, and actually ceases in some cases, to be a deterrent. You have to actually believe the other person's going to use it in order for it to be a deterrent.
A viable threat.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So that brings me to something that may not be widely known, but while the U.S. and Russia are pretty well matched as far as strategic weapons, they outnumber us on non-strategic or tactical weapons.
Yes.
Or theater level weapons on a
scale
of about...
can do damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more of those, but you say the smaller versus the larger.
Right. They're smaller and they're more likely to be used because of their smaller size. So they have the same amount of the big ones, but they have infinitely more of the smaller ones. And they've really been ramping that up over the past few years. So that's definitely a card that they could play in this theater.
Yes. And it is a lot of theater. It's not a political theater, unfortunately. It's just, at this point, it's going to cost people a lot of innocent lives. Because war, at the end of the day, the most people affected are usually the innocent people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wars are fought by... wars are made by governments, but fought by people that can't buy their way out of, you know, going to go fight somebody else's war. So, it's in a lot of ways. So, it comes down to, like, people... The people on the battlefield, the people that are doing all the sweating, bleeding, and dying are not ones that made the decision to go to war.
Right. So. I do think it's interesting, and I want to go back around to this point, because I think it's the thing that is most relevant for us, and it, you know, here in the West, and kind of our choices that we have inadvertently played out along the road that have led in some ways to this political stage being created between the pandemic and riots and so much political instability and even social instability and distrust and anger. Like, everything on my Facebook zone has been so negative and angry. I mean, at the end of the day, I just have to wonder, you know, at what point is it that we can realize that we have to unify and come together and be a strong nation again? Because once upon a time, America, you guys were great. Like, I look at that, I will say, you know, being from the UK, I will say, we do look at you sometimes as like our children, and that you have become this amazing world power and had so much goodness to offer the world. And I feel like it would be a shame now because of small, well, not small to people, they care, it's large divisions to them, but because of these political divisions, for people to be separated in a time that we should be unified. What do you feel about that?
Well, yes, so, I mean, there's always been political divisions as long as since the dawn of time, but especially since the dawn of this country. But over the past 10, 20 years with the advent, and we've talked about this ad nauseum on a couple of other podcasts, you know, where revenue is attached to angry feelings, and nothing gets you angry like politics. That's why that's forced upon you again.
And we
again,
know
and
for
again,
a fact
again.
From we recently had a Facebook podcast. We know for a fact through the algorithms that they actually will push forward and push the top of your feed the more politically angry comments or just angry comments, because it gets more clicks, more likes, more interaction, and so suddenly on your feed you're rewarding negative behavior and you're saying things that actually previously, even in terms of political disagreements, you wouldn't have actually said or gone so far as in. And I think that comes a lot with that anonymity of being behind screen and forgetting the humanity of people. And I hope with Ukraine and the loss of life from the horrors these people are going through will help us see some of the humanity
again. I hope so too. I mean, I'm hopeful, but we have been divided and desensitized on a level that has heretofore never been seen.
Can we go down a rabbit hole? I hate to be like...
By all means.
Controversial or this whole, you know... We have this whole conspiracy theory thing that tends to get way out of hand, like QAnon and stuff, and it's a rabbit hole. You know, I have been watching a lot of videos recently, and I genuinely have been seeing a trend within these videos. And this is before the Ukraine thing was announced. I was watching these independently because I was learning about the metaverse. I wanted to do a podcast about virtual reality specifically, and virtual worlds, the history of virtual worlds, because I've been invested for some time, everything starting from Second Life early on with Linden Labs, now to Mark Zuckerberg's renaming of Facebook to Meta, you know, the Metaverse.
Well, yeah, the
which is a
company.
VR-based platform, which has, in its own right, a lot of potential, right? And I wanted to learn more about it because I was learning about NFTs, which we're not going to talk about that today. That's a whole podcast unto itself. Have you heard about NFTs? I'm not going to go down that. I'm not going to go down that path today. Yeah. But that and cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, because I wanted that to be another topic as well. But it was all relating to this metaverse thing. So I watched a couple of videos and kind of like little pseudo documentaries on YouTube about like users spending, you know, 24 hours in the metaverse and they're hooked up to this VR headset and they're living in there. And I came across one video and it was entitled, you know, why the metaverse is a really bad idea, you know, and I thought, okay, I've watched some of the positive ones. I want to see all sides of the argument. And so I watched this video and I was blown away. There's this British guy narrating and he's going on about metaverse and how, you know, it's almost very Matrix level potential.
It's not a hard thing to see. You see what we've done with social media platforms as far as we spend an inordinate amount of time on that.
We get
our dopamine fix on that. That becomes our
cybernetically attached to my phone at this point.
That becomes your window to the world, okay? Yes. And we're going to steer this back on
and the dopamine
three,
lights.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I want to get to the point of where it goes.
Basically, I think what you're alluding to is within the metaverse,
this
there's
is
going
the
to be larger powers. Okay, so you're
going to
spend most of your time in the virtual world, right? And it's going to be less and less important about your real world. So you can be, stacked 40 high in a concrete building, with drab clothes or drab environments.
In a very kind of Soviet era world. You know, but you'll be happy because
in the
metaverse,
VR world,
it's bright and bubbly.
And who's going to be controlling that? The people.
Well, that's why. Let me get there. It's not.
There,
yeah,
right?
It's not just because it's actually not Mark Zuckerberg in this case. So redirect your anger. Not saying a lot of people do have anger there. I don't particularly like Facebook at all as a platform. The point was that China has actually made leaps and bounds over trying to, what was it called? The red
digital silk road. The digital silk road.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Silk Road being a reference to that was.
What's the original reference?
The original reference was a trade route to
trade
go get
route.
Silk from China. Then there was a website called Silk Road where people would buy drugs.
Is that true?
Yeah,
I didn't
a long
know
time.
That.
Well, and a lot of other things. That's
fascinating.
But in the original historical context, they've got an initiative called the Digital Silk Road, where they're investing a lot in underground cables, satellites, GPS, camera surveillance, the AI that runs the camera surveillance, and the internet. And the.
Right,
they're developing in these countries that don't have that or wouldn't ordinarily, so they're controlling these.
Right, so how would you now, to make this actually make sense to users, because you're an IT, you'll be good at this, how does this potentially affect the average person in the United States, and specifically, what is China looking when they're looking to invade Taiwan, specifically because of the Ukraine thing, and maybe it's co-conspiratorially involved or not, we don't know. Mm-hmm. If they do actively push further, they've already made slight moves there. What is the reason for them going for Taiwan that relates to the metaverse?
Semiconductors.
What's for the people listening? Explain that a little bit.
It's a crucial component it's a crucial component you need in just about all electronic equipment nowadays, modern era computing and everything else.
And Taiwan controls and owns a lot of that.
Yeah, a vast majority of it.
And so China wants that. And why is that bad for us? Because if they own that and take that, essentially they could take over a lot of the internet that you're experiencing right now and the factors behind it. And we already know that China has, in fact, actually taken over a large amount of our social media, like TikTok is an example of that. You know, so if you don't think it's already there, it has already happened. And, you know, I love TikTok as a platform. I really do.
Yeah.
But I do understand who it's owned by, and I can see the bigger picture there, realistically, in regards to this whole painting of everything that's been happening since the pandemic, the riots, the disruption, you know, all of these horrible things now leading up to Ukraine and Putin taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to, like, you know, put on the tinfoil hat or anything.
No.
But I am definitely looking at
the lead up?
A series of events, whether they're engineered, orchestrated, or
no,
not.
No, I don't think they're engineered at all.
But
no, not at all.
Definitely people are taking advantage of the things that are happening. So, you know, we've had this pandemic.
I think that's been chaos.
For 2 years. People are angrier than ever.
Yes.
There's a huge political divide. We are at a point in this country where, in a lot of ways, the standard of living has come up, but it's also gone down.
Yes.
It depending on which area you're talking about.
I don't think it's a matter of tin hats or anything that salacious, weirdly enough. I think these are very real events that have taken place, which have caused disruption in our society, which has led us down this path.
We're all divided. We're all so divided.
Humans are opportunistic, and I think Putin is smart, and he's opportunistic, and he says, oh, America is weak right now. They're not going to do anything. I'm going to set the standard. I am the power. I will do this. And they can do nothing about it because of a threat of nuclear war. Like he said, it's a lot of pandering. It's the threat. And nobody actually wants to use it. But it's still a very viable and terrifying threat to the average any person. See, it affects all of us and the entire planet at this point. So it is a dangerous game to play, but we're all now unfortunately playing. And Ukraine, you may say, why does Ukraine matter? It actually controls a large amount of resources. We talk about wars, and to give you some balance to this argument, you know, why, if we say, oh, you know, we're good as gold and we're not the baddies, you know, we've done bad things ourselves. A lot of people even feel that Afghanistan was illegal as an operation, and a lot of it was, you know, about resources such as oil,
right.
And which is a lot. And the difference is, obviously, of Russia, they're actually going after a neighbor. They're actually like, okay, this is our neighbor, and we're going to infiltrate this and take these things, you know. And it's like, where do we set the boundary for ourselves and other people to say, you know, enough's enough, for one thing, which is now Biden's job. To be like, as he stated previously, he had stated, if I was president, I'd go toe-to-toe with them. And now he's in this position
You got your chance.
What
say
will
what you
happen,
did.
And we'll see what happens there. But there's innocent lives at stake. You know, in some respects, even our lives are at stake to some degree. We just don't know how much this will play out on the theater of the world. And it's a fascinating time to be alive. I'm not particularly too happy. I don't know about you. About living through another major...
Congratulations, you survived pandemic. Welcome to World War III.
That's what it feels like. Yeah. And I was almost waiting for it. It's going to sound weird. I didn't know where it would come from or what it would be. I just knew something terrible. It was too good to be true. It's like, okay, this is the best, most uncomplicated summer we've had since, like, 2017.
Oh, they've lifted the mask mandates for the first time.
I'm gonna be able to do events again. Everything is happy. We're gonna all move forward, and we're all becoming more compassionate as a society. And it's like, nope. Putin's like, fuck off. Get that idea. We're going into war. And of course, you saw the big thing about. There's so many topics I could discuss.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we've talked about it.
But the big thing was, you know, the Gen. Well, I could go on about this one for hours.
Oh, I know.
You've got your Gen X. Your millennials.
We should do like a long form version of this at some point. You know?
We should. We can do a part two because
we'll give you the first half hour, and then you could tune in for like the after show or
and
whatever.
And here's what will be interesting is historically we're in very early days of this. We're actually trying to predict a future we have no knowledge of. So this is early day predictions. It'll be interesting to look back in the future and see where that was. But to go back to that previous point, I read this article. So you know, we have our millennials, well, we have our Gen X, our millennials, and then our Gen Y, which is our current kind of youngest population, right? The newest generation. And what they're saying in the thing is their big argument about this war, I don't know if you saw this, is whatever you do, the Gen Y is like, don't draft us. Like, that's all we care about. Like, don't draft us, because those of you who don't know, I mean, actually, we've been watching a lot of this little show called Downton Abbey recently, which you may know about.
Future podcast to come.
Very stereotypical, and almost I avoided watching it for years because I grew up with way too much of that under my own belt. But I kind of wanted to be able to see it to understand. My friend Alandra was actually watching a bit of it, and I wanted to be able to understand, you know, kind of a hype about it. So we watched several seasons of it now, and they touched into World War One, also known as the Great War,
and
the Battle of Britain, World War Two. They're just coming on later on, which they've not gotten to yet.
Yeah, well,
40s.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, we're not that far in because there's a gap, but you kind of know it's coming. So they kind of insinuate a little bit about the Nazi population. And another point I really wanted to brush on lightly as a brush stroke here is people are like, well, let's relate this to the Cold War, and there's definite similarities.
Well, go back to the first point. What was the point with the Great War? So we're seeing parallels of this happening.
Yeah, that's actually what I want to brushstroke on. It's funny, yeah, because a lot of people want to say, oh, this is like the Cold War, but in reality, it actually shares a lot of disturbing similarities with World War II.
Or World War I.
And World War I as well, and both, yeah. But you can read a couple of articles, and more citing World War II in that, interesting enough, just because of certain circumstance that was occurring at the time. But, you know, it's certain terms, like Putin has specifically used terms, like he is trying to denazify Ukraine. And using words, they've used words like fascists and Nazis, which is various, as we know, back in the day, was very similar terminology that they were using, which spurred us into this
that the
spiral.
Nazis used.
Yes, shocking. Hitler had similar concepts of, oh, don't worry, I'm not invading, I'm just employing military tactics to secure people's individual rights and races.
From racist
individual rights. And we all know how that worked out historically, and it wasn't good for anyone involved.
No.
So Putin is following historically sort of scary similarities there. That is a fact. So that's why people are a little bit like, okay, this hasn't happened in 80 years. This is a large place in Europe, which is now under attack, when they did not ever want to be invaded. This is very clear who is the bad guy there. They are
we the baddies?
Are we the baddies? No, we're not the baddies in this case, but I love that reference. Yeah. And I know it well. Are we the baddies? But they literally are the innocent party involved in this and begging for help, you know, and the reality is, without evoking severe consequences, that pandering that we were talking about earlier of nuclear threats, we have to take other actions instead, carefully, of sanctions and imposing financial limitations. And as Biden said, this is a long game. The thing that we're doing right now to try and help is actually a long term difficult solution in terms of finance, and it will affect us for a long time. So if you thought we're out of the woods from pandemic and recession and everything else, we are so not out of the woods yet. It's about to get worse. So my advice to you, if you're listening and you have a job, especially if it's anything involving China, which could it be its own podcast about how we spent so much time focusing on, you know, investing in China and having operations in China and cheaper manufacturing in China, because it was the easier, cheaper option than manufacturing in the US. Instead, what we need to do now is have manufacturing within the US. We need to build infrastructure in the US.
We're running long here, but maybe we'll run a couple of minutes long. Okay?
We can run a couple of minutes. But why, here's the thing. We talk about something. Why don't we have high-speed rail, or at least a solid, beyond Amtrak, rail system in place?
This is when you were talking about, you know, the divisions amongst us within, you know, politically, on a societal level.
We should all want our infrastructure to survive. And if you have railway, it creates jobs within America for Americans.
Yes, we have been sending labor overseas, which is, you know, look, if you're part of a global economy, okay, fine, great, I understand the, like, you know,
NAFTA
and things of that nature, okay, and
people
want, you know, cheaper manufacturing, okay, and if you want to think as a globalist and a global population, hey, we've done a great thing because we have grown the middle class tremendously in a lot of countries, just not ours, over the past, you know, 40, 50 years.
Right.
Okay? And we don't have to be non-interventionists, we don't have to be isolationists, but we should structure things to where we at least give ourselves the priority. Okay, we want to take care of our own house before we start building other people's houses.
That should be the one.
And I don't think that's a criminal thing to say. And the fact that
I don't think it is either. But as we sit at 29 minutes here, and we're at the end, I think that should be the one takeaway point: is that we actually have to start caring a little bit about ourselves as a country, and also about. And this is going to sound really hard, guys. About each other, even the people you disagree with. Okay, I'm not necessarily saying to completely get along and share the exact same values, but at some point, we have to draw a line where we understand if we ever want survivors, we need to come together as one. And at the end of the day, we do care about this country. And the foundation of what this country was built on was one of immigration, love, growth, capacity, infrastructure, industrial revolution. Mm-hmm. You brought so much to the world that is powerful. You should not forget what you had or be caught up in social media or silly things you read online that upset you and make you angry because the algorithm told you so. Instead, remember, when you're on the internet, you're talking to someone, that's a fellow human being.
It's another human being on the other side of that. But we
and you may disagree. And there's nothing wrong with disagreeing about something.
That's the other thing, which is...
But you should also be able to agree to come together. And I think the one takeaway from this, as we've hit this 30-minute mark, is... We need, if we want to survive this and we want to help Ukraine, and we want to help these other countries and help ourselves, we need to be able to put this stuff behind us and come together when we desperately need it. Now is the time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's very few things, very few good things that ever come out of a war, especially a war that this potentially has the size and scope to be.
Yeah.
If it does go into the World War III, but if there are any good aspects of it, is that hopefully we start treating each other like human beings again.
And with that, all of my thoughts and prayers right now go out to Ukraine.
Likewise.
And if you're listening tonight, take a moment to think about this. If you need to take a break from social media to absorb what's going on, you should absolutely do that, and I think that's a very healthy thing to do. But without further ado, thank you for, as always, for taking time to listen to us tonight. Good night and sleep tight.